Just exactly what is the difference? There are people in this room this morning who are always on top of it. And there are people this morning who are always on bottom. Then there are some who are on top sometimes, on bottom sometimes. You never know exactly how they're going to behave when you're around them. Now, just what is the real difference? I'm going to come as close to it this morning as you'll ever hear. You don't have to live a life of misery. But you say, if you knew my burdens, you'd understand. If you knew mine, you'd know I have a right to speak. I'm saying that you don't have to. Burden or no burden. And your burden. I'm not saying my burden's heavier than yours, but I guarantee you yours is no heavier than mine. There's no temptation or testing taken us, but such as is common to man. All of us have burdens. So we're going to have to figure out some way to be happy midst our burdens, instead of be happy by escaping our burdens. Somebody asked one time, Brother House, if you could live your life over again, be anything you want to be, what would you have been? Or what would you be your second life? Well, it'd be a preacher. But you say, well, if just discount that. If you're going to be a layman, what would you like to be? And I said, that's easy. I'd like to have been an explorer. I'd like to have been somebody on an expedition to explore. You know why? Because an explorer is always finding something new and never finding it all. Listen carefully. An explorer is always finding something new and never finding it all. That's what the Bible says here about the Word of God. When it says, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. He goes on down in verse 14 to tell us he's talking about the things of God. So, in this book, ladies and gentlemen, there is a vast treasure. Listen to me and look at me. In this book, there is a vast treasure. I have been discovering gems from this book for many, many years. But every week of my life, I discover something I've never noticed before. Every cave of jewels opens up to another cave of jewels. And every treasure opens up to another treasure. I sometimes want to sit you down and handcuff you and want to put a gag in your mouth and put you in a straitjacket and read the Bible to you and make you listen to it. I just feel for you people that don't love this book. I mean, I don't mean love it sitting on the coffee table. I mean love it by exploring it. Look, this book is God's message to man. Look at me now. This is not study time. It's preaching time. Look at me. I've got something to tell you, and I want you to hear me. This book is God's revelation to man. It is a book of precious jewels. It is not castor oil. It is not black draught or black draft. It is treasure from God, and you'd be amazed if you look at it and read it and study it. But you say, I read it 5 minutes one time, I don't understand it. Neither does the explorer find a beautiful jewel every day. He keeps on chopping away. He keeps on with his axe chipping away. Till finally, after searching and searching and searching and searching, he finds something new that's worth all the effort and all the toil. Now, wait a minute. I'm not to the sermon yet. God is saying in verse 14 that the Word of God is a great mine into which we can explore, or which we can explore, and find treasures, new ones, all the time. Now, He turns to God, and he says that God is that way. Nobody will ever find out all about God. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not yet apprehended, never will I get to heaven and get a body like his, but I know God more today than last week. And I'll guarantee you I'll know more about God next week than I know now. The Bible is saying here that God is a great mine of jewels, and that you'll always learn something fresh and new about God, but you will never exhaust all there is to learn about God. Now the sermon. Verse 11 says the same thing about man. Our text, the same thing about man. God is telling us the joy of exploring man. Each man is a mine. Each man is a cave of wealth. Each man is an ocean. Each man is different. And listen, I do not know any greater joy than constantly exploring people, individuals. You see, for 27 years almost, I've been pastor of this church. Let's take this man here, Brother Colston. I've known him now, I guess what, 25 years? 25 years. And I kid him a great deal. But the truth is, I constantly learn new, delightful things about John Colston. Constantly. I mean, man is that way. Each of us is different. And here's what the Scripture is teaching. The Scripture says that man is like unwrapping a gift. And you unwrap and you see something new about man, and then there's something else you unwrap. Folks, you spend too much time on yourself. And you're boring. If you're boring to yourself. Listen, the most bored people in this room today are the people that spend their lives exploring themselves. But if you would look at every individual whose path you cross as an opportunity of exploration, I don't care who it is, what a joy it is to explore the secrets of those I admire, and to explore the needs of those in need, and to help supply those needs. The truth is, every man is an island, and the truth is, no one will ever totally understand you. You think nobody understands me. Well, nobody does understand you, and you don't understand anybody else. Brother Colston, I don't understand you. Brother Lively, I don't understand you. Brother Bullard, I'm not going to try to understand you. And look, nobody really understands anybody else totally, and you never will. And that's the wonderful thing about it. I mean, everybody I know, I do not understand, but I want to understand them. And God says they're supposed to try to understand them and learn about them and learn about them and learn about them and realize I'll never learn all about them, and you never will. I've said this often. I used to worry about preaching. What I'd preach when I got the Bible preached up. I was a young preacher. I'd worry. What in the world? I was in a church 3 years, and I thought, good night, I'm about to preach this thing up. But you never do. And you never do exhaust the thrill and the joy of exploring people. Individuals. I mean, listen, I don't care who you are. There's something new and refreshing to learn about you. And so God is saying here, he's saying that nobody knows the man but the spirit of man. And he's saying that God wants us to learn of each other, to try to understand each other, because everybody has something to offer you that nobody else has to offer. And everybody has a unique need of you. Look, I don't want you sitting there holding your ears like this. You have to do that. Just go on home. I hate for everybody standing while I'm preaching. Their ears stopped up. I don't need to stick your tongue out at me. I got something to say. I want you to hear it. Now listen to me. listen to me. Get your mind off of yourself. Get your mind off of yourself. And try to learn all you can about individuals. Look, every cab driver that drives me, I was in a cab last Tuesday night in Anchorage, Alaska. And the fellow, he was an Oriental. And I decided I've got about 15 minutes with this fellow. I want to learn about him all I can. And so I just started talking to him and letting him talk to me. And I found out that he was from Korea. I found out he'd gone from Korea to Japan. And I found out he'd gone from Japan to Los Angeles. And I found out he'd gone from Los Angeles to Anchorage, Alaska. Well, when you go from Korea to Japan to Los Angeles to Anchorage, you were studying. When you go to Los Angeles to Anchorage, you are in January, you are worth studying. In fact, if you preach in Anchorage in January, you're worth studying. But you know, within 15 or 20 minutes, I was intrigued by that fellow. I mean, I just was grasping, trying to learn. Listen, every single human being is a beautiful cave full of treasures and jewels. God is simply saying, learn what they're about so you can get what they have that you need and so you can provide what you have that they need. Every little bus kid, and I mean this, every little bus kid is a precious mine of jewels and treasures. By the way, let me tell you something sad. Did you know that last Sunday morning, 500 bus people couldn't get on our buses? And we had to say to them, while they're waiting to get on the bus, leave them on the corner, because we didn't have enough buses to run. The price of our buses has gone up. We lease our buses. The price has gone up. Last Sunday morning, over 500, and this morning too, I'm sure, over 500 people were ready, dressed to come to church, who couldn't come to church because we didn't have enough buses to run. Several weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago, 1,900 people, one Sunday morning, dressed and ready to come to church, who wanted to come as much as you wanted to come this morning, in some cases more, because we wanted to get up at 6 o'clock and ride an old bus to get here, and they were left on a street corner, unable to board the buses. I wish you could read my mail. Dear Brother Hiles, why can't we ride the buses? They came by, wouldn't let us on. Some of you folks ought to get some of that money you got stashed away and invest it for eternity. Some of you ought to quit saving, like you'd save stamps, saving dollar bills. Do you know that $1,000 more this morning could have brought those 500 people that were left standing? I'm simply saying the tragedy is those people are just as human as you are. And they're just as precious in the sight of God Almighty as you are. You're so wrapped up in yourself. I, me, my, mine, us, we, ours. Oh, let me tell you folks, I travel the length and breadth of this country and have this world, and I want to tell you there's not a human being in this world that wouldn't make a wonderful study. Get to know what people are all about. For God is simply saying, study them and find out about them. There's not a bellman that takes my suitcase. And boy, that's one of my pet peeves. I carry my suitcase to the car at home. I carry it from the house to the car. I carry it to the airport. I carry it to the airplane. I carry it on the airplane. I carry it off the airplane. I carry it to the car. I carry it to the hotel. I carry it in the hotel. And then some guy wants $5 for me to let him carry it to the room. No way, Jose. No way. I mean, brother, if you want $5, come to my house and pick it up and carry it all the way. But look, when I see, I never saw a bellman that carried my luggage that wasn't one of, he's one of God's creatures. And he's different from anybody else in the whole world. Nobody like him in the whole world. I want to find out what makes him tick. I want to explore him. Why?
The greatest artist that ever picked up a brush made that fellow. And I want to examine the work of my great God.
Every waitress, every senior citizen in every rest home, every frustrated teenager, every person whose path I cross has something to offer me if I get my eyes off myself.
I look forward. Listen to me. You say, preacher, you don't know the load I carry. And you don't know the load anybody else carries. And if you'd get busy carrying somebody else's load, God would come nearer carrying your load. And your load will get lighter the more loads of other people that you carry. And I know what I'm talking about.
I'm simply saying that what God is saying here, He's saying there's a whole world of creatures out there, and it's our job to learn them. Learn about them.
I was down in Dallas the other night preaching. Went to the airport. My plane was late leaving. Went to buy a Dallas Morning News, Dallas Times Herald paper in the little gift shop there. It was closing time. Late night. 11:30, 12 o'clock, and it's closing time.
And so they had two little gals there that were at the cash register, and they were winding up the day and closing the cash register, and they didn't see me, and I was wanting to buy paper.
And one of them said to the other, she said, "I'm so tired, I'm going to die." And I said, "Then what?" She didn't know I was there. She said, beg your pardon? I said, "Then what?" She said, "Then what? I said, "Then what?" She said, what? "Then what? And I said, "You said you're going to die." I said, "Then what?" "Oh," she said, "I don't know." I said, "Would you like to know?" And I got to lead the lady to Christ right there.
I'm saying, there was an... And you know what? I didn't, all the time I was talking to her, I didn't think about a single burden I have. Not a one. Why? Because I was obeying God's command here that the Spirit can know the spirit of man, and it's my job to explore human beings.
I was down in a little town in southern Louisiana. Went to a restaurant, one of these little downtown on the square restaurants to eat, where everybody in town eats all the... And the little waitress came up, and she must have been a very young lady. She must have been in her late 50s. And she was about my age. And she came up, and she was rather heavy set. Dr. Rice would say rather well upholstered. And she was heavy set. And so she came up, and she was really not in a good mood.
Now look, why can't you take somebody that's grippy and take it as a challenge and try to make them cheerful? There's a certain place I trade here in town. They hired the fellas, the grippiest guy in the world. And I made it a project to cheer that guy up. He's been working on it 2-3 years. Now then, he is as good a buddy as I've got. We just chat and enjoy each other because I said, I am good. Boy, I don't want to be around him. He's an old grouch.
How much fun it'd be for you to take an old grouch and make him happy and give him a little joy in life. Work on him. Make a project out of it. Know him! This lady came up and she was grippy. Oh, she was grippy. She said, "Can't take your order." I said, "I want a Big Mac and some French fries and a chocolate shake." She took her little pad there and threw it down on the table. He said, "It dead sure beats anything we got to eat here." And I said, "Ma'am, don't you have good food here?" She said, "Anything that boss of mine would fix up is not good." She said, "He's unreasonable." And then she said, "What did you say you wanted again?" I said, "A Big Mac." And then a smile came across her face. She said, "That's funny." And I said, "They're also pretty good." I said, "Ma'am, would you like me to tell you how the joy of the Lord could be in your heart? That place was full of people. She stood right there with me beside her, with my Bible open, showing her how to be saved. That place was packed full of people. She wasn't embarrassed at all. She bowed her head. She prayed the sinner's prayer. She cried, and she came to Christ. And now, why? Now, I could have said to the fellows, let's go somewhere else. This old crab, I don't want to eat. Have old... you serve stuffed crab? Yeah, she's a waitress. And, I mean, I could. But look, what's wrong with looking at somebody and saying they're made in the image of God and a creation of God, and if they're not what they ought to be, I'd like to help make them what they ought to be. Man, what a way to live. It's the funniest thing I know right here. I didn't even plan to tell it, but it fits right there. Dr. Curtis Hudson, this is funny. This is so funny, I can't wait to tell it. Dr. Curtis Hudson, if you've heard this, you're laughing already. If you haven't heard it, you're going to laugh. Curtis Hudson, Dr. Hudson, was flying from Nashville, Tennessee to Fort Lauderdale, Florida, where he was preaching at the First Baptist Church at West Hollywood, Florida. It was a holiday season. The plane was almost empty. I mean, hardly anybody on the plane. Dr. Hudson had three seats. He's sitting next to the aisle, and there's an empty seat beside, an empty seat next to the window. No seats over here at all, and nobody's sitting anywhere. No, nobody's sitting in those seats, and nobody's sitting anywhere around him. Probably 100 passenger plane, probably half a dozen people or so on the plane. All of a sudden, the door opens up to the first class section. In walks a fella. He looks, stands there and looks out to the few folks on the sitting there and goes. He walks back to where Dr. Hudson is sitting. He stops right beside Dr. Hudson. And he says, hello. Dr. Hudson said, hi. The fellow walks back to the back of the plane. He gets back in the back of the plane. He turns around and walks back up. He stops again. Nobody's sitting around. He just stops right next to Curtis Hudson. Looks at him again and says, hi.
Curtis Hudson says, hi.
The guy walks up the front of the plane again. Turns around, looks back and smiles at all the 6 or 8 or 10 passengers. Comes back and stops again in front of Curtis Hudson and says, hello. And Curtis Hudson says, hi. And the fellow said, I guess. The fellow, I guess, said, is this seat taken? The whole plane is full of people. Dr. Hudson wanted some room to work. Is this seat taken? Dr. Hudson looked up and said, I don't see anybody in it, do you? And the fellow goes over to Dr. Hudson, doesn't go to the window seat. He stops at the middle seat. And there's a window seat where they could have some space to paint. He stops in the middle and sits down beside Dr. Hudson. Looks over and says, where are you going?
Dr. Hudson said, buddy, if you didn't know where this plane is going, you shouldn't have gotten on it.
And the guy said, mister, I don't know what your burden is, but Jesus could lift it.
What are you going to say? You're not going to tell him who you are. No way. He's going to find out you're a Baptist preacher. Enter to the sword of the Lord. Nationally known evangelist. And you're not going to tell him where you're going to preach that night because he might be going there. But if you don't tell him, he might be sitting in the front and find out who you are. But the honest, simple truth is, brother, Jesus can lift your burden. But Jesus doesn't lift your burden by you saying, oh, Jesus, lift my burden. He lifts your burden when you lift somebody else's burden. When you decide that everybody in the world is an expiration and a great wrapping around jewels, and you say, I'm going to find out about the human race, I'm going to explore the human race, I'm going to help the human race, I'm going to forget myself and study and learn
about every little bus kid. And I'll guarantee you there's something intriguing about every little kid that got off a bus this morning. The other day I was walking, Dr. Evans, Dr. Jorgensen did something they've never done before. They went with me on a trip the other day We were so far behind on work, and so we just got on the plane, worked all the way there, and worked all the time we were there, except when I was speaking, and worked all the way back and trying to catch up. And we were up on the 10th floor of a hotel. Well, they were down one end of the place, and I was down at the other. They had the high-class people at this end and the riffraff down at the other end. And I was walking down the hall, and I heard the fire alarm go off. Well, that never encourages me very greatly. On the 10th floor building, fire alarm went off. And then it stopped. And then a few seconds, it went off again. Then it stopped. I looked up, and walking down the hallway was a lady who had a pole. She was reaching up, and she was touching the fire alarms to see if each one had worked. So I asked the maid here, I said, what's she doing? Is there a fire? Oh, no, said the maid, said no. The maid was in the hallway, said no, said she's checking the fire alarms. I said, why? And the maid said, well, see if they work. I said, why? Well, she said, so in case of a fire, they'll go off. I said, why? She said, so we won't all get burned to death. I said, you're interested in not burning after death? Oh, she said, what? I said, you don't want to burn to death. Would you rather burn here to death or from death on? Well, she said, what do you mean? And I said, the Bible says those that die who are not saved burn forever. She pointed at a gal that had the stick in her hand, and she said, she got saved 4 months ago. I said, what church? She said, it wasn't a church, it was at home. I said, why don't you get saved now? And in just a few minutes, she did get saved. Now, why? Because to me, every man that carries my bags to my room, whenever I'm Dr. Evans, Dr. Jorgensen are there, I let them do it. I don't want them to think I'm a tightwad. He took their bags to their room, and I took mine last because they wouldn't tip him, and I would. And before he said, now, Mister, he said, I want to show you something. And he said, that little thing over there is a refrigerator. It's in the room, inside the room. And he said, let me show you what he said, on your key there, there's a little bitty key. And he said, if you'll take that little bitty key and put it in and open it. So I did. And in there, two packages of these little nacho cheese, little round rascals cylinders, two packages of peanuts, two of these thick almond Hershey's, the thick kind, cost a buck or two, a package of chocolate-covered almonds, which to me, well, and two packages of pretzels, six different kinds of cold drinks, five different kinds of juices, 32 bottles of whiskey. You talk about fun. Now, look. I said to the fellow, well, I want to eat some of this. How's anybody going to know it? He said, they take your word for it. You check out. Tell them what you ate, and they'll charge you for it. And I said, boy, this is going to be my opportunity. I stood there and talked to that fellow. He was saved. I talked to him about salvation. And you know what? We had a time. The guy gave something to me. He had something to offer me. Man, everybody I cross is a creation of God. Everybody whose path I cross was made by God. I mean, they're a product of my God. And the greatest painter and artist who ever lived made them. I want to find out what they're like. You say, why? Because I want to help them. Dr. Jorgensen said, Brother Hiles, I've got a cousin. I think he's a cousin, maybe an uncle. Anyway, I think he's a cousin. He said, he's in a rest home here in Jacksonville. He said, anyway, I could take a few minutes and drive by. Could I borrow the car? We rented a car. Could I borrow the car and drive by and see him or something? And I said, no, we'll take you by now. So Dr. Evans and I, Dr. Jorgensen, we drove, looked up the rest home. And Dr. Jorgensen said, I'll be back in 30 or 45 minutes. And Dr. Evans said, why don't we, Brother Hiles, and I'll just talk here and work out here then while you're gone. I said, no, Doc, let's don't. Let's get out. Most every town I go to, I visit a rest home anyway. And I said, let's just get out and go in and see if somebody needs some help. We walked in. Walked up. There was a little lady in charge. And I said, ma'am, I said, I'm Jack Hiles, pastor of First Baptist Church of Hammond. It's Wendell Evans, a bootlegger from up north. And I said, is anybody here that could use pastoral help? And she said, oh, yes. She said, there's Mr. Treese in room 202, I think she said. 202. She said, he just got here and he's very discouraged. We walked up to Mr. Treese's room. And on the way to Mr. Treese's room, I just stopped and shook hands. I guess I must have shaken hands or spoken to 25 people walking like this, or in a wheelchair, or sitting there staring into space. And I went to Mr. Treese's room, and I said, Mr. Treese, my name is Jack Hiles. And he was a bitter man. Nurse said he was 57 years old. Was not senile. Mine was as good as yours is. Better than mine. His family just didn't want him. Stuck him there. Oh, he was bitter. I tried to win him to Christ. He took my hand and said he was trusting Christ. I sincerely, I didn't feel like perhaps he knew what it was sincere. He was so bitter. But I talked to him a while. Walked down the hallway again, chatted to some people, and stopped to shake hands with people. And out in the car, and I said to Dr. Evans, Dr. George, thank God we can leave. Thank God we can get out and walk. Thank God. Thank God. We're driving to the airport yesterday morning, bright and early. It's still dark. And I said, fellas, I said, those people are still in that rest home. I said, they're still in the wheelchairs. And they'll be there tomorrow morning, too. And a week from now, and a month from now, until they die. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying those people brought something to my life. God let me take Brother Jorgensen to a rest home. Why? Because God had some of His creatures there He needed to use to encourage the preacher. And yet, you're too busy buying and selling and eating and drinking. And me, my, us, ours, me, my, mine, us, my, I, we, ours. That's why you're not happy. You're not studying God's creation. What a life. 20 years ago in Jacksonville, Florida, I was preaching. I taught my soul winning course. The fellow said, he said, Dr. Hiles, I'm going to go home and get my wife. I want her to hear you preach. The soul winning course ended about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Service started at 7 o'clock that night. This fellow said, I've got about a 35, 40 mile drive. I'm going to go home and get my wife, drive her back up in time for the service. I want my wife to hear you. He said, anybody I find on the road going home, I'm going to witness to them. I've never won a soul to Christ, but I'm going to win somebody if I can or try. I'm going to do what you taught us to do. Gets in his car, drives home, sees a hitchhiker on the way. Pulls over the side of the road. Hitchhiker gets in the car. Fellow says, sir, I want to ask you a question. Hitchhiker said, first, I want to ask you a question. Pulled a gun on him. Stuck in his ribs. I'm going to kill you. How much money you got? With a gun in his ribs, this guy that had just learned how to be a soul winner. He said, okay, kill me. But while you're killing me, I just learned how to do something a while ago I've never done. I'm going to die trying. He said, you know if you died, you'd go to heaven. In less than 15 minutes, the driver had the gun and the hitchhiker had Jesus. Both of them turned around, they got in the car, turned around, and drove back, and both of them stood up behind the pulpit that night and testified what Jesus meant to them. Folks, you poor piddling paupers. Piddling, pussyfooting, penury paupers. There's a world out there. And it's full of people, and God made them. But you said, what shall I wear? What shall I drive? What kind of car can I have? What kind of clothes can I have? What kind of food can I eat? How much money can I have? Oh, you poor, sorry rascal, you. Some of you ought to take about $10,000 and put some buses for those little kids to drive to Sunday school with. I'm not mad at you. I pity you people who have not found out yet that everybody whose path you cross, God sent them across your path so you could study them. 20 years ago, 1965, I was in Jacksonville, Florida, preaching at Dr. Bob Gray's church like I did last week. On a morning service, Tuesday morning, a guy walked up to me, peeved. Stocky, about the size of old Boston Patriot here. Old Paul Revere. About the size of Hutchinson. A Jew. Looked every bit the part. Orthodox Jew. He walked up and he started arguing with me. I tried to win him to Jesus, standing right there on the platform of that church. And he wasn't about to have it. And he said, none of that, I'll never come back and hear you again. He left. I talked to him 20 minutes. That night after the service, I did something I hardly ever do, only do it Bob Gray and one of the fellows, because Bob Gray is the eatingest man that ever lived. And so Bob Gray said, let's go out to eat a bite. Well, we tried to find something open and couldn't find anything open except one little greasy spoon place. I mean, and walked in that little greasy spoon place, and would you believe who was sitting there? That little stocky Jew that wouldn't come back that night to hear me. He didn't come that night at all. And he said he'd never come back, never want to talk to me again. And there he sat. And I grinned, and he... I walked over to his table, and I said, do you know who sent me here and who sent you here? And he said, who? I said, the Holy Spirit sent both of us here. Well, he wasn't about to hear it. But you know, that night he couldn't sleep, and 4 o'clock in the morning he got up and got on his knees beside his bed and got born of the Spirit of God. And that's the last I heard of the story, folks. That's been 20 years ago. Thursday night, after I'd preached, I'd signed my 6,427 Bible. And my hand was about like that. And my left hand was about like that, holding Bible. And the guy walked up with his wife and family and a little short, stocky fella, and he said, you remember me? I said, hold it. You're a Jew. I said, you're a Jew. I said, wait a minute now. I see a restaurant. I said, we ate together. No. I'd forgotten the story, part of it. But he pieced it. I said, we ate together after a certain... He said, no, not exactly. He said, you talked... Yeah, I talked to you on the platform. Yeah, he said, I'd never hear you again. He said, that night, I couldn't believe it. I was trying to run from you and only a little old bitty restaurant about that while, and there I was sitting and you walked in. He said, Dr. Towns, he said, 4 o'clock that morning, I got on my knees and got saved. Took this card out of his pocket. He said, would you like to read this? It said, the Zidemans, Norma, Sadia, Melissa, Caesar, missionary to the Jews in Brazil. He said, Brother Hiles, I've been a missionary for 12 years. 12 years. I've been to the beautiful Barbados coast and explored. I've walked in Jamaica through the jungles and seen fruit I'd never seen before and beauty I'd never seen before. I've stood upon St. Thomas Mountain, looked down over that bay and that beautiful ocean scene. I've been to the Bahamas and preached, and I've explored in the jungles of the Bahamas. I've walked in the woods of Bermuda to find things I thought I'd never see again. I've walked on the Grecian Isles to explore the beauty, incomparable beauty of the Grecian Isles. Let me tell you, the most beautiful unexplored land in the world. One of God's creatures, made in the image of God. I guess I could have been a rich man, maybe. I guess if I'd worked at it, I might have been a success and some kind of business or making some money. I guess maybe I could have been. And I'll be quite frank with you. There are times when I wonder, I'm getting close to 60. And there are pains I have that I sometimes wonder about. And I sometimes wonder what might have been. But it's been a wonderful journey. Trying to know people. and find their needs and try to fill them. I put my finger this morning on the problem. Your problem is you've never stopped to realize why God put you here. Life is meant to be a wonderful exploration of God's most beautiful creation. And what is God's most beautiful creation? The Isles of Greece that seem to rise like new converts from the baptistry as you drive down the shore. What is God's most beautiful creation? Diamond Head, as it stands like a sword or an axe or a hatchet sticking across the ocean. What is God's most beautiful creation? The Bay of St. Thomas, as God has carved it into the mountainside. What is God's most beautiful creation? The palm trees of West Palm Beach that stand like soldiers passing in review. No. The most beautiful creation of God is that little bus kid. The slobbering fella in the rest home who wishes somebody cared. And when you forget yourself and decide to be a scientist, studying the lives of God's greatest creation to find what they have that can enrich your life and find what you have that can enrich theirs, you will have found the spice of life. Our Heavenly Father,